Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We're quickly turning the page here. You know, we're turning the page, though. We're quickly turning that page.
New opportunity here. Turn the page.
Obviously, that game's done. You really have to turn the page quickly.
And then we'll quickly turn the page. We're going to be good turning the page, but...
There I go.
Ordinarily, we turn the page and get you ready for the next game on Wednesdays. It's a shorter week this week, and it's the damn playoffs. So we decided that we would work our way through what happened with the Bears and the Lions, and then we would turn the page. If you're listening to this segment, you're like, guys, I'm not used to this. What is this thing that you're doing? What we like to do is we want to start getting you ready for the game that is in front of you. We will turn the page from the game that you just saw and really drill down on the game that's coming up. And the game that's coming up couldn't be bigger. It is the biggest meeting between the Bears and the Packers in the last 15 years.
Could be.
It is that. It's the playoffs. It's wild card weekend. It's the game that every network wanted and fought for. And Prime ended up getting that game, which will be played at Soldier Field Saturday night, Bears versus Packers.
Saturday night's all right for fighting. Third time they ever will have met in the postseason. The Bears are 96-108-6 all time against Green Bay, 53-54-2 at home, so they can even it up. How about this? Last 15 meetings at Soldier Field, Green Bay is 13-2 against the Bears. But as we look at these teams against each other, the Bears are the better offense by every measurable team stat. Take that in. Except for third down percentage. Green Bay gets third downs done. And Jordan Love is better in completion percentage than Caleb, and therefore a better quarterback rating. But Caleb has more yards and touchdowns. They are the better offense by all the measurable team stats. On defense, the Packers are the better defense by every measurable team stat, except interceptions and fumble recoveries. The Bears are number one in takeaways. The Packers are 26th. The Bears are 2-6 in games in which they have gotten 1 or 0 takeaways. They're 9-0 when they've recorded 2 or more. Goodness. The Packers made 23 roster moves last week, Lawrence. 23! They rested everyone on that defense after Derrick Henry beat them up the week before. They rested the offense, too. And they are a confusing bunch because they've been a lot worse since Micah Parsons got hurt. They're running more movement and stunts and games up front without Micah Parsons. They need to because their other supposedly great pass rusher, Rashawn Gary... No sacks since week 9. Nine different Packers have at least half a sack, which is the minimum for sacks in my mind. Nine different Packers have at least half a sack since week 9. Rashawn Gary's making $24 million.
People thought that he would be a lot better, and when he and Micah were together, they were doing good work. It's part of the reason that the Packers' defensive numbers are a little bit inflated, because Micah Parsons was there for a very long time this season, and then the last four games, you've had no Micah Parsons, and that has been problematic for the Packers. They have struggled to stop the run as of late.
They also struggled because one of their safeties was out, some other people were out, Devontae Wyatt has been out, and we'll see as their injury report gets updated throughout the week exactly who is going to be ready. Matt LaFleur talked about the Bears, Packers, and this game for the first time they'll meet in the playoffs since 2010. It's the third matchup in just 6 weeks.
Is it just a football game at the end of the day? I mean, you don't have to treat it any differently. Obviously, the stakes are higher and all, but...
Absolutely. I mean, it's the same thing our guys have been doing all season long. It's a tough opponent on the road, a division rival. There's obviously going to be a lot of excitement, in not only, I mean, everywhere about this game. So, we just got to go play our type of game.
You've played them a number of times, but can you appreciate how historic this matchup is in the postseason against the Bears, how rare it is for you guys to play them?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool deal. I think anytime you're talking about division rivals and you're in the playoffs with a lot at stake, I think it's it just heightens it a little bit.
What's your message to your pass rush guys on trying to get Caleb on the ground? You've had pressure, but you haven't been able to get him on the ground.
Yeah, I mean, he's dynamic. He is dynamic back there, and his ability to make people miss, get out of the pocket, make throws from in the pocket. I think he's playing really, really good football right now. He definitely has progressed over the course of the season. I think he's some of those throws he's made are, you know, there's not many that can make those.
It's interesting the choice that Matt LaFleur made to kind of sit his starters. This has been a MASH unit. They have been hurt. They have been kind of limping to the finish of the regular season. And he was saying how, had because Jordan Love dressed last week, and he was saying how if Tune got hurt, their plan was that Jordan Love was just going to come in and hand the ball off.
Oh, my God.
That they were not going to expose him at all.
Remember, they pulled Love and Jacobs in the last week of last year, and then those guys came out flat against Philly in the first round of the playoffs. So this is tricky stuff. Interesting choices by Matt LaFleur. The Bears' defense is way better at home, especially the pass defense. How about this? The passer rating at home against the Bears, 77.1, as opposed to 105.6 on the road. They have 25 sacks at home against just 10 on the road. So fascinating. Completion percentage lower and much, much more. Here's Kevin Byard on the Bears' performance this past Sunday and how his previous playoff experience actually shapes his outlook for this year's team.
It was similar after obviously coming down from the loss, watching the film a few times. Obviously, a lot of things that we didn't do well. I don't think we covered well enough on the back end with obviously all the speed that they had out there on the field. But, you know, yards are one thing, but obviously points is the main thing. And I think we did a good job of stopping that team in the red zone. I think similar kind of what we did against Green Bay, which they was able to draw the ball, but they was 0-for-5 in the red zone. I think this past game they were 1-for-4, 1-for-5, something like that. Gave us a chance to win the game, but, you know, we obviously want to be better than that from the 20 to the other 20 or whatever. But gave us a chance to win the game. It just didn't work out that way this time.
What's the secret to a good red zone defense?
I think, you know, when obviously the field is more condensed, I think the reaction and just being able to see things has to be a lot faster. You have to trigger faster. And then at that point, obviously having better run defense down there, obviously not letting them run in there. But for quarterbacks, like I said, there's not a lot of space. There's more bodies in there. So I just think being able to react and all those type of things has to be a little bit more accelerated. But your eyes as a defensive back have to be really on point because a lot of times teams are scheming up different things, whether it's gadgets, quick runs, quick throws to the flats and things like that. So you have to be really key on your reaction.
Having a 7-foot-tall middle linebacker help you?
Oh, for sure. You know, anything that we can use definitely it helps. But like I said, I just think that understanding what teams like to do down there and being able to react and have your eyes right.
And you've been part of a 9-7 team that went to the conference championship game. You've been part of a 1 seed that lost in the first round. How do you process that whole dynamic of what this is?
Yeah, I mean, I actually haven't won a playoff game since then. You know what I mean? So I understand how special these opportunities are, and they don't come around that often. I know just even this 2019 team, like they were saying even back then, like we were too early, like as far as like we had snuck into the playoffs and they're not going to do anything. You know what I mean? Like they don't have all the pieces and we went on the run and obviously we're a game short. We're going to the Super Bowl. So I've been hearing the same noise about this team this year as well. So I just think for us all together, just understanding how special this group is and going out there and just playing for each other. You know what I mean? It's do or die at this point. So like I said, I'm just extremely excited. Motivated, my energy level is high. It's going to be high for the rest of the week because, like I said, I mean, I'm blessed to be able to be back in the playoffs with this group, with this organization. So it's going to be fun.
Kevin Byard on what it is to be in the playoffs with the Bears and the Packers.
I like what he said too about people thinking, oh, well, you know, a team is a year early, and then they run all the way to the Super Bowl and. In a year that's been so strange, you know, why not the Bears?
Why
right?
Not? Why not?
It's been really weird. If you were wondering, and maybe you were a little bit worried as a Bears fan, going, "Hey, is their backup quarterback healthy?" He's expected to be available, Malik Willis, and we know that Jordan Love got knocked out of the last game they played, and the Bears struggled a little bit with some of the zone read concepts that the Packers can play with Malik Willis. So he, even though he's been dealing with that shoulder injury, he should be available to back up Jordan Love on Saturday night.
I think that that would be very, very good if they end up seeing Malik Willis. You know, I wouldn't mind it.
It could be if DA learns from the mistake of you better have your Malik Willis game plan ready.
Yeah, what would be better is if Caleb goes ahead and puts up 35.
There it is.
Caleb in the offense, and Ben Johnson,
DeAndre Swift,
says it's a good problem now for Caleb Williams to have so many guys he can target because Roma Dunze is back.
That's every week. That's what we do every single week, and that's why that trust level between the players, you know, with Caleb, that's why the trust level with the coaches within the players, that's what we're building to all year long. We see it during practice. We see how these guys go about their business. When the stakes are high like this and the margin for error is very small, you want to lean on those that that you can trust the most. That's what I've learned over my time, and we'll do that here going forward.
Speaking of the trust level, where's your trust in Colson right now? Is that kind of reliable target in this offense?
He's come, you know, he's shown up and he's made big plays for us. You know, I think the last few fourth downs, the ball seems to find its way to him. I think that's certainly a credit to him. The quarterback certainly trusts him. But I think that probably sheds a lot of light in terms of how vital he is towards our operation. We ask him to wear a lot of hats in terms of knowing the game plan, a lot of different positions, a lot of different responsibilities, run game, pass game, pass protection, and I think he's still learning and he's growing, and really excited not only to see him compete over the next few weeks, but also his future.
I know you don't want it to have to come down to needing to rally at the end of the game, but given what Caleb has done and been at his best in those situations, how reassuring is that to you to have a guy like that?
Yeah, we're never out. Our guys know that, and I think to your point, we certainly don't want to have to lean into that each and every week. You know, we'd like to start off a little bit faster and make it more of a complete game for 60 minutes. But just the fact that I think teams understand when they play us now that they have to earn it. they got to really close us out if they want to get the victory, because we can score points in bunches. We can do it in a short amount of time, and I think we've proven that.
As you've tried to problem solve the slow starts, what has worked this year and what has not been effective?
I don't know that there's a right answer for that. There's a process I believe in terms of how we prepare these guys. I think we got a lot of great professionals, and I think anytime you bring attention to something that they look to fix it, and that's what we're doing here this week.
Have you dealt with the frustration of some of that when you designed these first 10 to 15 plays, however many it is, and drilled those over and over, and then it doesn't look right come game day?
Yeah, I mean, I've kind of alluded to you before, anytime we take the field on offense and we don't end up with points, then yeah, I'm disappointed. All of our guys are disappointed, so you find out what happened, what went wrong, and you look to make those corrections and put it past you. So that's how I deal with it.
Colston Loveland, the last 2 weeks, 13 targets, and the week before, 10 targets. Colston Loveland is the number one target on this team the last 2 weeks by a mile.
That's true, but the other tight end came up with a huge play for the Bears on Sunday, and luckily, because he got rocked on that touchdown catch, no issues. He was full go. Wasn't even on the injury report for the Bears. And he's going to talk with the Take the North podcast coming up at 6:25. TTN. Here's what Cole Kmet had to say about the things that make his quarterback special in late game situations.
Yeah, I think that's just something that he's had and he's kind of just been born with. I don't know if that's something he's had just, you know, since he's been playing football and playing sports in general, but you know, I felt that last year too, and I know results weren't great last year, but there was countless times where he drove us down the field at the end of the game to either put us position to win, tie, or go ahead. And but you know, this year obviously that gets highlighted more just because of the winning record and all that stuff. But he's just got great poise out there, and he remains the same. And I think he understands, especially this year when he has to go make a play and when it's needed. And I think we've seen that come up time and time again.
How does a good, better, best chance embody what this team stands for and impacted what you guys have been able to do this year?
Yeah, I think despite the result, you know, we come in Monday, Tuesday, whatever it be, and we're looking to get better. And I think that's kind of the mantra of that whole deal. And the guys have really embodied that. You know, I think we have all been able to put our egos aside come Monday morning or Tuesday and be able to look at the film with a critical eye and get better from it.
What about this team or this offense has allowed so many different guys to step up in those critical moments, whether it's Colston the other night or Jade when his opportunity came?
I think this is what Ben and our coaching staff do such a good job of putting guys in the right spots. I think we're all put in situations where we can really succeed, and I know the coaches really think that through when they put together the game plan, and so when those moments come up, guys are able to excel. And I think we've seen that time and time again with a bunch of different guys in a bunch of different spots.
We were here the last time this organization had a playoff game on a very different kind of season, different atmosphere with COVID. What do you remember about that day in New Orleans?
Well, I remember it being weird. You know, as a rookie, you just kind of, you don't really know this from that. And, you know, you're 8-8, and there felt like a lot of negative sentiment around the team at the time, even though we were going to the playoffs. And it almost felt like, oh, man. You know, you go at 8-8, and it feels like this. Like, surely getting in is not an issue. And sure enough, you know, 5 years later, you're going back for the second time. So, I think I just look back on it, and you realize, first of all, you never take a playoff for granted. And you know, maybe I did a little bit at the time, and just based on the atmosphere of that. But you know, also that being said, I do feel like this team is way different than that team, and I think that. You know, that team, we had a lot of things going on throughout the year, a lot of changes at some key positions. Where this year, it feels like we're more cemented in who we are and our identity as a team. And I feel like those are things I can carry over, you know, here in January.
That is Cole Kmet at the end there talking about the last time the Bears were in the playoffs, which I think a lot of people just kind of skip over in their brains. You think about 2018 and the double doink. Oh, no. 21-9 loss at New Orleans in 2021, and Cole Kmet was there.
But didn't Mitch win, like, most slimed
player?
It was
the Nickelodeon player of the game, which is usually, like, the person on the losing team who the kids just like the most.
But he had a wacky – wasn't there, like, a wacky touchdown or something?
There was one. So it's funny. As time expired, I went back and watched some of the film on this game. Mitch to Jimmy Graham as the clock expired in that one.
Yeah. So like I think like that's why Jimmy Graham, a 19-yard touchdown from Mitch at the end. But I love Cole saying, seemed like there were a lot of negative storylines. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, there were. That was Matt Nagy, denouement.
Yeah, current Bear probably won't see him on Saturday. That played a little bit of a role in that game, remember?
C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, has he got in Javon Wims' face?
And Anthony Miller got ejected, right?
He did.
Very early in that game.
That's right. So, yeah, like because he got all over Javon. And is that the game where Javon dropped the short touchdown?
Yep.
Yeah. Great memories.
Yeah, we love the playoffs around here.
2-6 all time in the wild card round for the Bears. 12-9 all time in the playoffs at home. 12-9 all time. It's not too bad.
So now we have officially turned the page.
Feels good.
Speaks, remember about an hour and a half ago when we played the Wayne Larrivee sound?
I do, when Wayne Larrivee had the audacity to call out a dagger on another man's radio show.
Well, look, I said it then, and I'll keep saying it. I felt kind of bad for Wayne because it felt like he was being jukeboxed. You know, it's like, hey, Wayne, do the thing that you do.
And then he did it because he was on somebody's radio show.
He was. And it turns out that one of the people involved in that radio show listens to this radio show.
Uh-oh.
And they're fine with it. Like, okay. they were saying how they're the resident – the kind of Bears agitator on that show, and they heard the segment.
Ah, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, good. That's which guy is that? We know which person is it? He's the one telling him to be careful?
Yes.
Before he
that
actually
did it? That is the person,
it?
I believe, who reached out to our show.
Okay.
I think he took down the tweet. I can't find it anymore. Oh, no.
No, I've got it right here.
Oh, okay,
what
good.
Got, Alex?
What's his name?
Alex Receipts-Coon here. He's got it.
Ricardo Arguello, I believe.
All
is
right.
His name. Hey, guys.
Shout out to Ricardo.
The clip with Wayne Larrivee is from our online streaming show, Clubhouse Live, out of Appleton. Brett Christofferson is the host, and I am the co-host and resident Bears fan heel.
Sunday morning coming down.
Wayne, let's pretend it's Saturday night. Josh Jacobs plows into the end zone, right?
Easy.
That's the game win. Give us a little example of what that's going to sound like. Can you just give us a little taste of that, Wayne? Come on. Just do it, right?
All right,
Josh
here we
Jacobs,
go.
3-yard touchdown run.
Packers second and goal at the 3-yard line of Chicago. Here we go. Hand off to Jacobs, and why not? Plows up the middle, carries bodies into the end zone, and there is your dagger.
There you go.
Boo.
Yes.
Boo.
Yes.
Boo.
Speaks, you're about to do an act, and you're about to sing some Springsteen.
Yeah.
Sing. Just sing right now. Sing.
Sing Born to Run.
Go ahead.
Just do it. You sing it. You sing it right now.
You're doing an act.
I'm not.
I'm not your effing jukebox. That's what I say.
That's a great answer.
I've said it many, many times.
That's what Wayne should have said.